My friends, it's been a challenging week for our country. I don't need to be the one to tell you deep divides were revealed. Now, some of us had already known they were there. Others of us were genuinely flabbergasted by the vastness of understandings and misunderstandings. On Wednesday of this week, a group of folks gathered here at the church for communion after the election. Communion coming together among those who might have had differences, but shared a similarity in faith that unites us in a commitment to Christ. I give thanks to God for a chance to gather and ask God to continue to be the God of us, where we are now. Whether you find yourself this morning rejoicing or perhaps a little bit taken aback, numb or empowered, unengaged or fired up, we continue to have work to do. Friends, we would have had work to do with any of the potential candidates. Did you know that there were write-in candidates? Mickey Mouse, since 1932, has been a write-in candidate for president. Hasn't won yet, but perhaps will be written in again in 4 years. The gorilla, Hombre, who the Cincinnati Zoo had to shoot this year, received 11,000 votes write-in style, and conceded to him was Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback over in that area. Lots of write-in votes this year. Did you know in the Hebrew Bible, the people begged God to give them a king? And God told them each and every time, a king will disappoint you. A king is not the same as God in the flesh. A king will not fulfill your needs, but the people begged. And they came before God again and again. God offered them judges, and they were not satisfied. Feel free to read the book of Judges and see how that turned out. So, God, beginning with King Saul, grants a king, as well as prophets who will tell the truth to power, starting with Samuel. God granted kings and other power structures through the scriptures, and even today, we find ourselves navigating power structures, alternately begging for rulers who rule and being disgusted with where we find ourselves. This week, we as a country, a state, a community, a church are filled with both those who are begging for rulers to rule and those who are disgusted with who and where we are. So I find myself this morning saying we have a commitment together, a first commitment to following Christ with our whole life. Not just on Sunday mornings, not just in times of trial when we find our words slipping out, oh God, not just when it seems to make sense, but always. Following Christ as King, meaning we put Him first always. We put Christ first in how we lead our daily lives. We put Christ first in how we understand our society to be organized or disorganized. We put Christ first in how we choose to respond to one another. We put Christ first, regardless of how the other acts. We put Christ first, understand the world around us, the people, and our role within it. Our relationship with Jesus is based on putting him first. Whole life living. Following Jesus, not just in our waking and not just in our sleeping. Following him in our work vocation and our families. Following Jesus in how we talk and how we care, how we spend and how we save, how we earn and how we give. Following Jesus in how we spend our time and share our talents. This week reminds us that following Jesus in all that we do is our call as disciples of Jesus Christ. In our gospel reading today from Luke, Jesus speaks to the disciples, and I think to us as well. This passage comes out of the center of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has been talking for quite a while. He's been teaching people what it means to be faithful disciples, to live faithfully, not with your faith hidden under a bushel or just a set of philosophies we subscribe to if somebody pushes us on what it is that we believe, but about a faith that is visible. And Jesus tends to use trees and plants as metaphors for explaining our own faith to us. He comes back throughout the Gospels again and again, but here it's dangerously clear. Our faith will be known by our fruits. The most public parts of our lives showcase the most privately held of our understandings. We've often wanted to change the meaning of what fruits meant exactly, or expand it so broadly, so diffusely, that we don't really have to talk about money. Money is one of our great taboos. It's alongside sex and politics, so I'm doing very well this morning. We've hit 2 out of 3. Maybe we could keep going. Jesus was in the business of removing taboos, of knocking down boundaries that we've set up. Money is one of the most common things Jesus speaks about. In fact, there's only one thing that Jesus talks about more than money. I'm curious. Do you know what it is? Love is a good guess. I could take that, but no. The kingdom of God, or if you're in Matthew, the kingdom of heaven. He cares about money. Jesus cares about how we earn it and about how we save it, how we spend it and about how we give it. Not because it's money, but because it's the fruit of our understandings. It's one of the major fruits that gives evidence to how we've understood the rest of the gospel. If you and I decide that we're going to spend all that we have on games of chance, perhaps gambling, and drink to numb our pain, and trinkets to fill every corner of our homes, perhaps we've missed the call to care well for those around us. Perhaps we've missed the call to care well for our families and those who have no families. Perhaps we've missed the call to bring the tithe into the storehouse to bless God's people and to care for them. Our passage from Malachi comes from the prophet who reminds us that not all is lost. Even when we feel like the Israelites in the book of Malachi, that the world is run in a way that we can't agree to, not all is lost. Malachi reminds the people that the storehouse is the method through which people are cared for in their time of need. In the days of the prophet Malachi, the storehouse was the temple. The temple fed the poor and clothed the naked. Today, it is most commonly the church. It is the church who cares for those in need and urges the world into the way of God, seeking God's kingdom here on earth. It is the church who opens the doors to the homeless through Family Promise and educates the young in spirit and truth through preschools and Sunday schools. It's the church who feeds the hungry with the food bank and clothes the naked with the coat drive and the clothing drive. The church who cares for those in the hospital with visits and assistance. It's the church that reaches out to the incarcerated and cares for their families in their absence. God calls us out of gratitude for who God is to give a tithe to the storehouse, to the church, to care for others. It is in gratitude that we give back. The children did a great job of representing for us and giving back their Skittles. In gratitude, we give thanks that God woke us up this morning and gave us breath. It's in gratitude that we give ourselves back. I know many of you have been cultivating the roots of gratitude through our gratitude challenge, writing a note to someone every one of the days of November. We're on the 13th, so that gives you 17 more days of this practice if you haven't gotten the chance to do this yet. And thank you notes out in the lobby to facilitate you doing it as well. I had a lot of head nods at the 8:30 service of folks who were doing it. Can I get a head nod from anyone here who might be participating? I see a couple head nods. Okay, and a bunch of shy folks. That's just fine too. We're cultivating our gratitude and growing our roots. Trees, back to Jesus, are known for their roots. It is said without roots, they become firewood. Trees complete with roots become a symbol of our endurance and our persistence. Trees can survive and thrive in the midst of disaster, natural and human-made. The oak tree here in this is from South Carolina that began as an acorn and across time became immovable, unshakable force of nature 30 feet in diameter. Are you and I not like the tree, setting down our roots of gratitude, extending beyond what sometimes seems advisable, growing towards our source in height, in depth, and in width? Are we not rooted in gratitude and growing in Christ? You know, around the world, a time of offering is not always somber and reflective. We don't always have to cry for the pennies we're offering to God. Rather, a time of offering in other places can be rejoicing, dancing, and singing, giving thanks to God for what God has given us. This different orientation reminds us that our fruitful living comes from God's fruit-filled giving. I want to show you real briefly our district conference experimenting with this different kind of giving. We were led by our missionaries from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Hello, thanks be to God for those around the world teaching us what joy can be in giving. Giving is an outgrowth of full disciple living. Living as faithful disciples of Christ in giving gratitude to God. Not just because we've hit the prosperity jackpot and everything is going exactly the way we hoped it would go, but because God is good and calls us to be good. God is great and calls us to live in God's way. God is generous and calls us to live out that generosity. God cares for all of God's people and calls us to do exactly that. Today, we offer our commitments, our intentions, our faith journeys, all of us to God. We offer our hopes about how we'll live out faith in the next year. We give thanks to God who has already taken steps towards us, and we offer back out of gratitude. We who have given hesitantly are invited to give out of gratitude. We who have given generously are invited to stretch ourselves into growing into Christ, who Christ calls us to be. So with gratitude for who God is and how God has blessed us, let us this morning give thanks and praise with our words, our lives, and our fruits. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.